And we are back here on CHRY 105.5 FM, your community radio station. This is Amandala, an African perspective. We're now going to go into an interview I conducted earlier this week with Kathleen Bomani about the World War I in Africa project. This year marked the centennial anniversary of the First World War. However, the story of the Great War has always overlooked Africa. Tens of thousands of African lives were lost at home and abroad, defending the interests of foreign powers and the lives of complete strangers during the war. The World War I in Africa project aims to bring this to light with photos, cartoons, maps, and caricatures. The project aims to challenge the normative narrative of World War I and also change the usual narrators. Joining me on the line is Kathleen Bomani. Kathleen is a Tanzanian cultural activist and consultant. Her interests lie in creating spaces for nuanced, in-depth African stories. She works at the intersection of art, governance, and homegrown innovation, with a special focus on the politics of identity. She coordinates the World War I in Africa project with Jacques Inando, a French geographer and cartographer who has been working in and doing research on West Africa for close to 10 years. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, and I've taken a look at the project, and it's fascinating, and I'm really glad that you're able to share with our listeners the history of Africans in World War One, as well as the project. So I'll start off by asking you, in what ways did Africans participate in World War One?
Okay, the numbers are actually staggering. When it comes to the in actual fighting in the African continent, which took place in four different colonies then, German colonies of Togoland, Cameroon, German East Africa, and Southwest Africa, which is present-day Namibia, we can roughly estimate over 1 million Africans were involved in that alone, with that being soldiers recruited to fight for the empires, and most of the numbers actually belongs to porters who actually carried artillery, cooked and cleaned for soldiers, and the number for that, the ratio is to, for every one soldier, there were four porters, and this included women and children. So I know the death toll for Germany, East Africa, which was Tanzania, Burundi, and Rwanda, is about 500,000, but the number has been downplayed. And it's actually interesting because when they talk about it at the Treaty of Versailles, they say, you know, they kind of like brush it aside and say, if the world was to know how many Africans died, it would be another topic, so let's not bring it up. Another part of Africans was the migration of African labor and soldiers from the continent to go fight on the front lines in Europe. So that number is close to, I believe, 500,000. So then again, you have African soldiers, especially the French used African soldiers as human shields. And then you also have African labor digging out trenches, clearing forests, building railways, repairing roads, doing all sorts of menial labor, also including washing laundry and cooking and cleaning.
This is, I mean, the numbers are staggering, and I would like to talk about that in a bit, but you had mentioned that there was kind of two fronts. There was wars on the African continent and then African soldiers who left to actually fight in Europe. But in terms of the fighting on the African continent, can you tell us a bit more about that? I know in your blog you also mentioned that being from Tanzania, this is not something you ever learned in Tanzanian history, that there was actually part of World War I had played out in East Africa.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the first shots of the First World War, which took place on August 7th, took place in Togoland in West Africa, and it was a gunshot from a Ghanaian Gold Coast Regiment soldier. So that's interesting, and actually the war in East Africa ended 2 weeks after the armistice in Europe. That's when the Germans surrendered, and they surrendered in Zambia. In terms of the war in Tanzania, that's where most of the fighting took place, and we're talking about 4 years. 4 years of fighting, 4 years of, because the German soldiers, Askaris, were caved in by the Allies, being the Belgians and the British. They were cut off from communication from Germany. They employed guerrilla tactics, and wherever they went, they took whatever they can in terms of labor, food, and even in terms of like the whole ecology of southern Tanzania, where most of the fighting has. I have been told by researchers that you can still see trench lines, and there's a lady who's doing a PhD based in South Africa, and she actually told me she recovered a bullet covering from the First World War whilst researching the Maji Maji Rebellion. So it's a lot of history, a whole Pandora's box of so many things that we could talk about. But being that, you know, I did secondary schooling and post-secondary in Tanzania and focused on history, and yet this part of history was not mentioned. You know, instead we have names etched in our heads of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, Gavrilo Princip, and it's like, no, actually war took place in East Africa, and it's definitely a conversation for contention and rewriting of history and our whole curriculum.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned part of the reason why we don't know this part of the World War One history. I mean, we never learned it in school. If we were to learn the amount of African casualties during World War One, it would really change the story of the way we think about World War One. So can you tell us why you think that this... there is this allusion to the participation of Africans in World War One?
Well, I think if we were to open, well, which we're trying to do, is open this chapter into the First World War, you know, the reasons we were told the First World War, you know, aggression here, aggression there, there was nothing but it was a war for colonial empire, expansion of colonial empire. This was basically, it's laid out after the Berlin Conference. It's a game of conquering new lands. And not only that, the racist, you know, colonialism is talked about in, you know, there's so many aspects of how we look at colonial history. And World War One, I don't want to say it's a bit of revered, but it's like, oh, no, it's just one time the world went to war, and, you know, we get all these casualties from Europe, but, you know, once you start talking about the Africans, our, you know, loss, it's another calamity. And I think for Europe and the world, Western world, it's best for them to save face of their intentional racism. For instance, you see Britain's complicity with the apartheid laws that actually came to the 1950s. For South Africa to give about 21,000 South African native labor, they insisted on the African soldiers being completely isolated from the rest of other people in Europe, including other Africans who are in Europe working, including actually even colored South Africans who are in Europe. So they lived in prison-style camps, which were in worse conditions than that of the prisoners of war. And so here we see the start of segregation, the start of apartheid, and it was done in Europe, and only towards the South African contingency of soldiers. I mean, contingency of labor. They weren't even allowed to fight because they were deemed as not worthy enough. And, you know, for the South African government, their interests were, oh, the Africans must not realize they're equal to white people. We don't want them to rebel. We want them to still think they're inferior.
I know that, and the stories kind of surface here and there, that many African soldiers who fought in World War One never received compensation or recognition, and this is what you're trying to open up. And so what kind of actions have veterans themselves taken to address this kind of misrepresentation and lack of compensation? I know there was some movement in Senegal some years ago, but what does that kind of complete story look like?
Well, you know, it really varies, because in terms of how the different colonials dealt with their, it goes into the colonial administration and the differences. In terms of, like, for the German askaris of Tanzania, it is said that, you know, von Lottebeck went back, or not, didn't go back, but made sure, ensured that, you know, these soldiers from the First World War were compensated. And there's a story of, you know, because they didn't have the paperwork or anything to show for their service, they had them line up and what do you call it when they do the whole, when we have parades or etc., and it's like they do the gun twirling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you know, it's but a subject. You know, that is. You know, let's step away from actually thinking about soldiers being remunerated. Let's talk about reparations. You know, Germany had to pay reparations to all these European countries. And it had been agreed that the war would not ravage on the continent. And yet we have this German colonel who had no reason to actually attack, but started attacking and actually pulled in about, you know, a death toll of close to, like, in the hundreds of thousands, and just destroying the agricultural ecology and the geography of these lands of where the war took place. And let's open that subject and actually see, like, okay, reparations, soldiers, fine, but what about the women, the children, and the land that this affected?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is a connected story. We often don't think of World War I as connected to colonial conquest. And it's definitely through this lens that you see that they are the same project in a way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you and I are both from Dar es Salaam. And the most interesting thing I've found out is, after the Germans left immediately, you know, the British actually segregated Dar es Salaam more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, segregation, it was mild to 100, whereby there are some parts of the cities, you know, of course, broken into the African area, the Indian area, and the European areas. And actually, I just learned there were some European areas you actually had to have a pass to enter,
mm-hmm,
or to be allowed in it. You know, this is also another part of history, especially when it comes to Tanzania. It's like, oh, wow, for me, I'd always imagined this was the situation in terms of in Zimbabwe, South Africa, and in Kenya. But you see this little small inclination that gives you a different lens of the way you look at Tanzanian history.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting. And also, you know,
sorry.
Yeah.
No, and I'm just saying that kind of segregation also persists. Like, it's not so clean cut as it used to be, but we still, like, that colonial legacy is still there. I mean, in the urban geography and definitely in all these kinds of arenas as well.
Absolutely, it is still there. And when you see, you know, where it started, it's like, wow, we should really be discussing First World War.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, wow.
But this is what I wanted to ask you. This obviously, I'm assuming, is why you came to start this project. So can you tell us a bit about how you came to start the World War I in Africa project along with Jacques?
Actually, Jacques had started being annoyed by the narratives that were prevailing in Europe. He's based in Europe. And he would complain, like, you know, there's no mention of African soldiers or Africa's involvement in the First World War. And I think after Bastille Day, he actually started the project, and I joined in later. But, you know, at first we knew there had been an involvement and this history had been overlooked, but we had no idea how much rich history there was. So it's a very interesting thing of, like, we've been learning, we've been reading books, we've been reading articles, and it's like each and every day we debrief ourselves. We're like, did you know that this, that, the other, etc. So it was that was the main impetus. But for me as well, it's like I've just been very interested in Tanzanian history. And, you know, whenever I can research and find anything new or a new lens of looking at Tanzanian history, it's always interesting. Because I find, like, contemporary Tanzanian history to be very Nyerere-centric. Mm-hmm. And I'm always searching for more multiple histories that actually exist in Tanzania, because I believe we have a very singular outlook of our history, and I find it to be quite inaccurate. So this was definitely a chapter that was like, oh wow. Mm-hmm. So it's of interest, being I have that interest in exploring the multiple histories that multiple complex histories that Tanzania as a place is.
And I've had a chance to look at the blog, and the artifacts, like the pictures, the maps, the cartoons, the archival material that you've collected is amazing. So can you tell us what does the project consist of? How is it kind of conceptually laid out, and how people can access it?
Well, you know, we spend time, like I said, we spend time reading articles and reading books. And from then on, we write short pieces, either Jacques and I. But lately, we have been looking for historians, writers, or people who have interest in this subject matter. And we actually have them write pieces from their perspective. For instance, our latest piece is from a lady who works for an organization on the Ugandan Railway, and she writes from the perspective of the First World War and how the Ugandan Railway was an integral part of that. And we have another piece we're working on right now, which is on Ethiopia. Even though it wasn't involved in the war, a lot of domestic policies were affected in Ethiopia. So that is, you know, we're aggregating content on this subject matter. In terms of the archival footage of photographs, maps, cartoons, postcards, that goes into archive digging and European archives.
I was just going to say, have you had a chance to look in the Tanzanian National Archives for stuff like that?
No, I haven't. I've been told there is a lot, mm-hmm. and it's very interesting for me to, like, it's for me to proceed in the Tanzanian subject matter to the war, it really forces me to go back to the revolts, from the Abushiri revolts of 1898 all the way through to the Majimaji rebellions, because you have to paint a picture of the full colony. Mm-hmm. As in, the Germans had been resisting African resistance to colonial rule. And it is only after 1910 that they rested, and 4 years after that, the war started. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like from this colony that had over 20 tribes unite and fight against colonial rule, for World War I to actually take place and the Germans through, what kind of subjugation took place and suppression? So, yeah, it's a... It makes it, you know, I have this, I guess, self-induced pressure whereby I have to go back into history and paint that picture of the mm-hmm. of German colonial history as a subject that is hardly ever spoken of. We'll hear of British colonial, French colonial, Belgian, but the Germans have always had this past. And it's about time the lens changed.
And especially when it comes to Tanzanian history, as you were saying, like, it's, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, most of the population didn't even know that at one time the colonial rulers were German in Tanzania.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I've heard from the southern Tanzanian communities where, to them, like, there are colonial calamities, like the German suppression, that was a colonial calamity. The World War I, they were just both colonial calamities. It's just, you know, just colonial. It doesn't matter who it was to them, or they were just colonial calamities. But it's very interesting how a lot of people actually don't even, you know our very interesting history of being passed on from one colonizer to the other.
Exactly.
And, you know, changing from it being a German-speaking to English-speaking.
Mm-hmm. And so the project has, I think, many portholes. You have a Facebook page, and you also have a blog. Could you maybe give our listeners information on where they can access the project?
Absolutely. Our website is www.iafrica.ghost.io. And we're also on Twitter, www.iafrica. Also on Facebook, www.iafrica. And the hashtag is www.iafrica. So I'm sure if you put the hashtag, our content will pop up.
And we'll also link that on our blog. But Kathleen, I'd like to thank you very much for speaking with us today on this amazing project. It's not only this archival project, but as you said, it's opening up the discussion to a history that's pretty much kind of unknown in popular discourse. So it's a project that kind of starts with this archive, but opens up a whole discussion. So thank you so much. And is there anything else that maybe you wanted to add that we didn't touch on?
No, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and having this conversation. And if you come across any interesting, I know you work on Tanzania as well.
Oh, I definitely will pass
I would
that
be
on.
More than, so we're also looking for, you know, I should mention we're all looking for historians to help since, you know, Jacques and I are not experts and we're learning as we go along. In addition, we're actually looking for narratives. We're trying to collect oral narratives or written narratives from family members. Because when we started this project, there have been a lot of people who have come up, well, my uncle, my great uncle served and he told me this, and I'm like, can you write it? So, but also we're trying to store this history and get different narratives as much as possible to make it more wholesome and as multiple as it can be and just as complex as it should be.
Great.
So if anyone has any leads, any pointers, do shoot us an email at www1africa@gmail.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Thank you so much, Om.
And that was Kathleen Bomani, the coordinator of the World War I in Africa project. And if you would like to follow up on that, you can check it out on Facebook. It is facebook.com/WWIAfrica. Also, they have a blog. It is www.iafrica.ghost.io. And of course, if you have stories, if you have narratives that you would like to share with Kathleen, you can email her at wwiafrica@riseup.net. And you can search the hashtag. It's hashtag WWIAfrica. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick community listing break and a musical break and be right back with more on CHRY 105.5 FM, Amandla, An African Perspective.